Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 29 responsibly. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty rivers, waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord all are crying, glory! O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Several years ago, I heard Fred Craddock speak about the act of preaching. If you're not in the business, so to speak, you may have no idea who Craddock is, and that's just fine. You don't need to. I can assure you, though, that generations have been affected by the way he opened up the church's understanding of preaching. He was the master of story sermons. Stories that carried the whole point of the preaching in their presentation. In one of his books on preaching, he starts by saying a sermon, to be properly understood and to have its purpose fulfilled, has to be experienced in its context, or rather, in its several contexts. In short, we need to know about the one preaching. We need to know about the situation, the history into which the preaching is happening. We need to know the listeners. Knowing the language of the time helps as well. We need to know the contexts of preaching. What is interesting is that most books about preaching presume a definition, presume a purpose for the preaching. Eugene Lowry lays out all kinds of assessments of the goal for preaching. Among them is Frederick Buechner's assertion that the task of the preacher is to hold up life to us by whatever gifts he or she has of imagination, eloquence, simple candor, to create images of life through which we can somehow see into the wordless truth of our lives. Or Barbara Brown Taylor, who suggests that while every sermon is God's creation, it is also the creation of the preacher and the congregation. At some level, there is a sense that the preaching task is to take the transcendent and the abstract reality of God and make it concrete in our daily life. Of course, one of the challenges is that even the best preachers have to figure out how to make God's will present in concrete ways that are accessible to a wide-ranging audience. Interestingly, for as long as I have been preaching, folks have told me that it is the children's time that they take with them most of the time. It is certainly a reminder that the children's time had better carry the freight, the whole weight, the whole load of law and gospel, of God's grace and love, of repentance and forgiveness. It also suggests that somewhere in these concrete illustrations, there is an invitation to relationship. Yet in the midst of it all, none explicitly defines the sermon. The definition is always presumed. This past week in my daily devotions, using a new to me book called Luther's Breviary, I came across an excerpt from one of Luther's sermons precisely on the event of Jesus baptized at the Jordan as told by Matthew. Listen to Luther. First, a quote from Scripture. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Luther says, "This is the sermon preached by the most exalted preacher from the highest pulpit, and it reaches from heaven to earth. And this is the most exalted sermon ever given. The Almighty, Eternal, Merciful God is speaking of His Almighty, Beloved Son. This is my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The greatest listener to this sermon is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine majesty. That is why the adoring angels remain mute and motionless, because they too are absorbed in listening to this most sublime preacher, God, the Almighty Father. At this point, however, you may well ask, what has all this got to do with me? Christ is God's Son and is without sin. As for me, I am a miserable sinner, conceived and born in sin. My own baptism is thus less glorious on account of my sin. But no, you should not think like this. Instead, you should enter into Christ's baptism with your own baptism, so that Christ's baptism is your baptism, and your baptism is Christ's baptism, and thus there is one baptism. Luther says, tells us, the most exalted preacher from the highest pulpit with the greatest listener. In this event, all three persons of the Holy Trinity are present. In this moment, Matthew wants us to know and clearly understand that Jesus intends to fulfill all righteousness. In this moment, all preachers, including Luther, want us to know that Jesus has truly and absolutely come to live among us in our reality to make the reign of God right here and right now. What the greatest and all other preaching accomplishes is to reveal Jesus as the Christ, the beloved Son of God. That is first and foremost. Without that, all the other discussion about making the abstract concrete, opening the divine mystery, and seeing the wordless truth of our lives is empty exercise. Matthew's gospel does what the other gospels do not. Mark and Luke have the voice from heaven addressing Jesus, "You are my son." John's gospel has John the Baptizer reporting that he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. But Matthew allows us and those present to overhear the message. In fact, the message is less for Jesus than it is for all of us bystanders who are looking on. God is addressing us. "This is my son." We are called to pay attention, to listen, to follow, to recognize the importance of what we are witnessing. And having witnessed the full scope of Jesus' ministry, we are also called to tell the story that God came down, lives among us, and is changing everything. That's the core of the best sermon ever.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.